Will you please join me in singing our opening hymn, All the Air with Joy is Rife? It's hymn number 264, and you'll find it on the inside of your Sunday program. Ministerial staff, the Board of Trustees, and the church family wish to thank everyone who contributed to the beautiful and fragrant lilies that grace our pulpit this morning. If you purchased a lily, please remember to take them home with you following the service. And if you would like to purchase a lily, I believe there are four remaining to be sold. If you're interested, please see Reverend Friedline after the service. The flower calendar for this year is posted just inside the 35th Street entrance, and there are only four dates remaining to be filled for the year. If you'd like to support the church's flower calendar, please take a look at those four dates and see if one of them resonates with you. The church office and the bookstore are open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All are welcome to visit for prayer, for counseling, to have a peaceful, quiet meditation in the sanctuary, or to browse the bookstore. Now, as you all know, our Sunday lessons are recorded and they are available for downloading free of charge from the church's website. But if you'd like to have a copy and you'd like someone to make it for you, Mayu will be happy to do that if you sign up on the sign-up sheet on the credenza in the library. Our practitioner, Wayne Gatewood, along with Reverend Friedline and myself, are always available for prayer and for counseling at any time. If you would like to have prayer or counseling, you'll find our names and our telephone numbers listed on the back of the Sunday program, as well as in our monthly newsletters. If you are a visitor to our church for the first time this morning, we welcome you. We look forward to having you join us again on another Sunday. If you would like to receive some information about our teaching, please fill out one of the visitor's cards and give that card to the ushers during the offertory. A packet of information will be sent to you during the week. Those of you that have been visiting with us for a while and you have participated in our evening and our after Sunday programs and you found our teaching to be compatible with the way you think and feel about life, we invite you to become a member of the church family. If you would like to become a member, please fill out one of the membership request cards, and I ask that you give that card to me as you come through the receiving line at the end of the service. We in Divine Science believe in the power of true prayer. If you would like to have prayer for yourself or for your loved ones, please fill out the prayer request card and give this card also to the ushers during the offertory. Prayer will be offered today as well as throughout the coming week. The Tuesday evening book study group with Reverend Jen Friedline meets on Tuesday evenings at 6:30. All are welcome to attend. Membership in our church is not a requirement for participating in this or any of our other programs. Next Sunday, April 28th, will be a very special Sunday for our church for two reasons. First, Dr. Al Salazar will be coming to give the lesson. And the second, he will be ordaining Wayne Gatewood. Dr. Salazar's topic is A New Beginning. We look forward to having all of you join us for this special service. Now, immediately following the service on May 5th, we will be having a wedding. Tom Wilcox and the lovely Glenda will be married on Sunday, May 5th at about 12:30. Following the ceremony, refreshments will be served in the fellowship hall downstairs. Tom and Glenda invite the entire church family to witness their union. To allow for the wedding of Tom and Glenda, the Alumni Association will be presenting its final monthly presentation for this year on Sunday, May 12th. Charmaine Hawkins will be presenting on the topic of grace. And please mark your calendars to attend the church's annual meeting on Sunday, May 19th. At this meeting, the board and committee members will discuss activities of the church and plans for the future. Results of election of new officers will be read, and the new board will be introduced. A board-sponsored lunch will also be provided, so do plan to attend. There's much to discuss. And today, immediately following the service, you are invited to join Clarence downstairs in the fellowship hall for coffee and sweets.
Sight is glorious, see the man of sorrow.
The reading this morning is from the Living Bible Paraphrase, John 20, verses 1 through 21. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone was rolled aside from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and me and said, "They have taken my Lord's body from the tomb, and I don't know where they put him." We ran to the tomb to see. I outran Peter and got there first, and I stooped and I looked inside, and I saw the linen cloth lying there, while the swath had been covering his head was rolled up in a bundle and was lying at the side. And then I went in too, and saw and believed that he had risen. For until then, we hadn't realized that the scripture said that he would come to life again. We went home, and by that time Mary had returned to the tomb and was standing outside crying. And as she wept, she stooped and she looked in, and she saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the foot of the place where Jesus' body had been seen. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have taken him." She glanced over her shoulder, and she saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" he asked her. "Whom are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned toward him. "Master," she exclaimed. "Don't touch me," he continued, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them that I ascend to my Father and our Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. That evening, the disciples were meeting and behind locked doors in fear of the Jewish leaders, when suddenly Jesus was standing among them. After greeting them, he showed them his hands and his side. And how wonderful was their joy as they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again and said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and told them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." As we open ourselves up to the Spirit of God, we are carried out of the old and into the new. We are promised a new heaven and a new earth. John saw the new heaven and the new earth from the mountaintop. Uplifted in consciousness, we also can see these things. Not new creations, but the eternal creation of God seen in a new light. In a new understanding, all things will become new. The time is now, for now we are the sons and the daughters of God. The realization of this truth will set us free from any sense of human limitation. Let us always remind ourselves that we are the beloved children of God, and as His children, we are always protected, guided, maintained, and sustained. As we remind ourselves of our divine heritage, let us take this time now to affirm the Divine Science Statement of Being. You will find the Statement of Being printed on the inside flap of your Sunday program. Following our affirmation, we will have a brief period of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with his perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Will the ushers please come forward for the offertory? Gracious and loving Father, our hearts are full of gratitude for the eternal flow of your grace, your love, and life. The grace and love that sustains and maintains us and is our sufficiency in all things, right now, this very moment, and always. We are grateful, Father, for every blessing, and we say thank you as we share your gifts with one another. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was beautiful. From the human perspective, all human life appears to have a beginning and an end. But human birth and human death do not really reveal the entire history of the revelation of the soul. Our Bible clearly states that the gift of God is eternal life, and that whatsoever God doeth is forever. Yet every time a loved one goes through this human experience we call death, we find ourselves re-examining what it is that we really believe. I would like to think at this juncture, we are all far enough along now to know that everything out here in the physical world is subject to change. Everything. Oceans, land masses, mountains, homes, relationships. Everything is subject to change, and this includes the physical body. Since the body does not last forever, the body cannot be life, because life is eternal. God did not create the physical body that we identify as male or female. God created man, both male and female, a living soul, the life in you and the life in me, that which lives us and moves us is of God. It is the soul that lives. It is the soul that feels and cares and dreams dreams. It is the soul in man that will live forever. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. And God created man, a living soul. We all agree that human birth does appear to be a beginning, and that human death does appear to be an end. But the appearances don't go far enough. These are just two effects in the physical existence of man. Two effects that one man named Joel Goldsmith called a parenthesis in eternity. Why? Because one man named Jesus proved the meaning of eternal life, the meaning of immortality, and nothing in the history of the race has ever equaled this one man's demonstration. His demonstration was an attempt to break forever the human belief, the psychic fixation on the finality surrounding death in the mind of the race, for in mind, so in manifestation. Today is Easter Sunday. Easter is celebrated throughout the Christian world as the story of the death and resurrection of one man. But be mindful that Easter is much, much more than that. It is the spiritual evolution of every man from a human awareness of life into his own spiritual awareness. To better understand the significance of Easter, it is necessary that we understand what it was that was crucified. Some people have said throughout the years that it was the Christ, and others have said it was the man Jesus. We say that it was neither of these. The Christ is the perfect idea of man in the mind of God, and this cannot be killed. The Christ is a state of consciousness. It is our own personal spiritual awareness of being, and the man Jesus, as presented in the story of the crucifixion, is simply a manifestation of the perfect man. He is, at this point of the story, the embodiment of the Christ mind, with all of its attributes and all of its powers. He is, at this point, the outpicturing of the Christ consciousness, and this, too, is indestructible, for causation is within and it is invisible. So the question then becomes, what is crucified? The answer is human belief, the human belief in death as an ending. The other side of the coin is the human belief in birth as a beginning. The entire message of Easter lies in the transformation that takes place when our humanhood is released and the man whose being is in Christ is revealed. There is a mind that does not know God. There is a mind that believes in the power of birth and death, a beginning and an end. There is a mind that believes in the power of disease and sickness and health, prosperity and poverty, happiness and sadness. This is the human mind, and we all have this mind in some degree or another, even today. Because of this mind, we experience a little bit of health and a little bit of sickness. We experience a little bit of happiness and a little bit of sorrow. We experience some peace and some arguments until such time as the mind that was in the man Jesus is formed in us. The mission of the man Jesus was to establish this mind and the power of this mind as the true mind of all of mankind. It is the human mind, the human consciousness, the human awareness of being that is to be crucified. It is the mind that experiences hate and anger and frustration and fear. It is the mind that causes the physical body to get sick and to deteriorate and to die. It is the mind, the human mind, that the man Jesus called a liar from the beginning and the father of all lies. Now, the crucifixion seldom occurs on any given day. Rather, the crucifixion takes place day after day, hour after hour, in those of us who are trying to attain that mind that identifies itself with God. Paul was one of these individuals, and he said, "I die daily." What he was really saying was that his human belief and his human reactions to human experiences were dying a little bit, day by day. He was saying he was no longer reacting to the appearances as he used to do. God is love. God is peace. God is eternal life. We all agree that God is love and peace and life everlasting. But for most people, these are empty words because they are not revelations from within their own being, but words that somebody else voiced very emotionally and very conventionally, words that somebody else writes and somebody else records. Just to say that God is love and peace and life everlasting does not make it so in our own personal experience. But we can demonstrate what God is. We can demonstrate the presence and the power of God in our lives. We can demonstrate the activity of love and peace and even get a feel for life everlasting. Yes, we can. We do it alone as a personal and intimate experience that reveals itself as an activity of our own minds in those moments that we choose to become still and quiet. What this means is that we have to go back to the beginning. And to the beginning begins in the first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. That's all. One God, one Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in all of us. As long as we continue to believe in a selfhood, a life, a being, a power, a presence that is separate and apart from God, other than God here and now in this sanctuary, in our homes, in our relationships, in our workplace, as long as we believe in a separate power and a separate presence, then we are going to have to believe in a beginning, a birth, the growth, this birth, the maturity of this birth, and the death of it. But there is no such thing as a beginning, a middle, and an end. There is only God. The word God contains within itself the allness, the completeness, the perfection of all of being. There is only one complete and full life, and that is God. There is only one power, and that is God. Only one soul, and that is God. Only one spirit, one law, one principle of causation, and that is God. We need to go back to the beginning that God is the only presence, the only life, and the only power, so that when we hear about a birth and a death, when we hear about a disease or unemployment, fear and loneliness, we can say to ourselves how thankful we are that there is only God. It is not enough to know that the nature of God is the nature of man, and it is not enough to know that we live and move and have our being in God. We are to become the embodiment, the living examples of the truth that we know. It is to be expressed in all that we do, in all that we think, and all that we feel. It is not enough to know that the Spirit of God is with us and in us. It is to be felt, to be experienced as an activity of our own minds, as a conscious realization of our own consciousness, that this is the truth within our own consciousness that will set us free from the human belief in hurt and rejection and frustration, free from the consequences of the belief in death. This is the realization that comes to us if we inwardly, we were saying, whereas I was blind, now I see. All of this takes place in our individual spiritual awakening to the true nature of our being, that the Father and I are one. This is our own personal transformation from humanhood to Christhood. It is what Paul called putting off the old man and putting on the new. This transformation goes on and on until the whole mind is renewed. It is then that we indeed become a new creature. It is written, if any man be in Christ as a state of consciousness, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It is here at this point in our understanding that we are lifted up beyond human belief in life and death. It is here that the Spirit of life comes upon us, making all our paths harmonious, healthful, and fulfilling. Because the very same Spirit that lifted Jesus from the tomb is already within you. The same Spirit that healed the sick and restored the blind is in you, simply awaiting your recognition. There is but one Spirit that heals, one Spirit that restores, one Spirit that blesses. It is the Spirit of God, the Christ with you and in you, expressing as you because it is you. The Christ is the Son of God, which sons and daughters ye are. And this is why the Master said, I say unto you, ye are gods. The message of Easter is a very personal message. It is a very intimate message, for it is proclaiming unto each and every one of us that as the sons and the daughters of the living God, we are going to live forever. Now we are the sons and daughters of the living God. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your chair and rest your feet flat on the floor and place your hands in a comfortable position either in your lap or at your side. And then take a deep breath in and let it out slowly. As you release your breath, you're releasing all of those things that are bound up inside of you, all of those things that are not of God. Loneliness, fear, frustration, sadness, jealousy, let it all go. There's no place in you for these things. Be still and quiet your mind. Be still. Be still and go deep within to the center of your being, Our Father waits there to welcome you with his open arms, his unconditional love. Let not my heart be troubled, and let it not be filled with fear and doubt. Let me cast aside the worries and the stresses of the world, and let me become impervious to all that is not who and what I am in truth. Let my heart be open and receptive to the still small voice within that directs and guides and calls me home to my Father's house. Let me put aside the ways of the world, the striving for things, the pressure to be what I am not, the ego that relies on praise and compliments from those who pander. Let me turn away from all that is temporary and reach for that which is eternal and infinite. Help me, Father, to hear your call, to follow in the steps of my elder brother, Jesus. Lift my consciousness that I may have that mind and manner that Jesus has. Let me be meek and humble, mild and mannered. Let me be merciful and pure of heart. Let me look beyond all appearances and see the truth of all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be. Let me see you, Father, as the all in all, forevermore, that I too may let go of the trappings of the confusion of the world and be with you in heaven. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love and life everlasting. Amen.